talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit when we talked about the Trinity. And one of the things there, if you remember, we talked that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each one is God. There's only one God, but there's three persons in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God himself. And we saw that in Ephesians 4, where it says, he makes a declaration. He's talking about there is one Spirit, there is one Lord, Jesus, and there's one Father and God and Father. So he's using, we explained that in Deuteronomy 6 was called the Shema. The declaration of Israel was that the Lord is one. There is only one God. And so Paul takes that and he puts three persons in it. So he stays faithful to the Jewish faith of monotheism, and it says Father, Son, and there is one Spirit, there is one Lord, there is one Father in God. That was in Ephesians 4. So the Holy Spirit is God. But what we want to look at today will be more from John chapter 14 to 16. It's a text that has a lot about the Holy Spirit, so we can learn a lot from there. We'll start in John chapter 13, verse 1. It gives you the context. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So the context here is that Jesus is about to go to the Father. He came from heaven. He's going back to heaven. That's the context, the prerequisite for the giving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has to go home. Jesus has to go to heaven. He has to be enthroned on high. And then he has the authority to give the Spirit. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. That's part of Pentecostal theology. Jesus the baptizer, the healer. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, but only when he goes to heaven. John says that the Spirit cannot be given until Jesus is glorified, which means he dies, he rises, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. And there in that place of authority as God the Son, the Father gives him the Spirit and he pours it out. So there's a precondition. Now we're about to see, that's why in John chapter 14 there's a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus is going. It's the precondition. Jesus could not have stayed on the earth and us for us to have the Holy Spirit. He had to go to heaven and leave us, go to heaven, receive all authority in heaven and earth, and then have the authority to give us the Spirit. So him leaving is the context of us receiving the Holy Spirit and of him sending the Holy Spirit. Because here it says in 13, the hour has come. It's like a theme in the book of John. My hour has not come. He said he came there with the wine. The hour has come now for him to die and rise from the dead and go to the Father as he had come from the Father. That is what the hour means, the time to go to the Father. Just look in John 16, verse 7. You can see more clearly this precondition. Jesus has to go before the Spirit can be sent. 16, verse 7. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, which is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the Advocate will not come to you. Other versions will say Counselor or Comforter. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Unless I go away, there's a clear precondition. He will not come until I go away. And then once Jesus goes away, then he'll pour out the Holy Spirit and send him to us. And he says, I will send him. So let's just read the whole text that we're going to do in chapter 14. And starting in chapter 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And Judas said, but Lord, why do you not intend to show yourselves and to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send," we'll keep seeing this, he says in verse 15, 16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Spirit." Here in verse 25, "The Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Just look in chapter 15, verse 26. "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father." So again, now it's Jesus who is sending. And before it was the Father sending. And now he says, the Advocate, the Spirit whom I will send, but from the Father. "He will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God." Then pick it up in verse 7. "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send." So who's sending? The Father will send. The Father will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit proceeds from the Father. But Jesus also says, "I will send you the Holy Spirit." "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So these are the texts that we want to look at this morning. You can see Jesus is going to heaven. So it's very important. It's the context for the sending of the Spirit. And the first point is that it's the Father and the Son who send the Spirit. That's why we see that in one text, no, the Father will send you. I will ask, and the Father will send you. But then he says, "I will send you." So what happens is that you can see it in Acts 2:33, where Jesus goes, he ascends, and then Peter, he pours out the Holy Spirit. Peter says, well, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and the Father gave him the Holy Spirit to pour it all out. So he now has the authority to do what God does. That's why Jesus is God. He does what God does. He judges, he raises from the dead, and he pours out the Holy Spirit. The Father pours out the Spirit through the Son. That's how we reconcile these things. So the first point in your outline, the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. And the context is Jesus gone back to heaven. He's not, if he remained on earth, we would not have the Holy Spirit. Something, God will be present everywhere in all places. Jesus with a physical human body was limited to one place in Palestine. Now that he's ascended on the throne, now that he can pour out the Spirit, God is again present everywhere by the Holy Spirit. That's the context. And the Father and the Son send the Spirit. So it shows also that Jesus is God because he does what God does. Only God would send the Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit was the agent of God. God would send the Spirit. He would speak by his Spirit. But now it's as the relationship the Spirit had with the Father in the Old Testament, the Spirit has to the Son in the New Testament, because Jesus is God. He's the agent of Jesus. Jesus is the one who breathes on the disciples. He baptizes the disciples in the Holy Spirit. So the Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Father sends him through Jesus. That may not seem like a big point, but the church has been divided for 1,000 years on this one point. There's a big debate going on in the 11th century between the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox over who sends the Spirit, and they're still split on this. So it may seem like a small point, but it split the church for over 1,000 years, when the Greeks will say it's the Father only sends the Son, but they don't allow for the Latins will say filioque. They added something on the statement of faith, and the Son. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. So this is a big deal theologically, just trying to understand the Godhead. So both are involved, but it really does show, it exalts Jesus, because Jesus does what God does. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit. So let's just go back to chapter 14, verse 15. So the Spirit is sent by the Father through the Son. The other next thing we can say about the Spirit is that He's our helper. He is our helper. He is sent as our helper. Some the term is advocate. That's what we read here in the NIV. Others will say counselor. But I think the more accurate one is helper. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate or another helper to help you and be with you forever. Verse 26. But the advocate or helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And then chapter 15, verse 26. When the advocate or the helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father. So the Holy Spirit is sent as our helper. And that term that's translated advocate or helper is parakletos. That's the Greek term. And it refers, it can be an advocate, it can be a helper. Some people think it's like a helper in a legal sense. That's why they say advocate. He's the one who's going to help us in a court case. But the term helper is broader. It's not, yes, he can help in a legal situation, even before, but that's not the only help that the Holy Spirit gives. It's broader. He's one who stands with us, and He helps us in everything. So the Holy Spirit is sent as our helper. And he just continues what Jesus was doing with the disciples. He strengthens us. Jesus was strengthening and encouraging and helping the disciples. Jesus is now going home, and so now He has a replacement, another advocate. So that means Jesus was an advocate. Jesus was a helper. Now He's sending another helper now that He's gone to heaven. So the Holy Spirit helps us in everything. He strengthens us in the battles we have to go through. All the we need His presence and His anointing in everything. There's just so many things that we're talking about, falling and whatever. We even spiritually, we can hit lows and we're down and we're at the end of our strength. And then the Holy Spirit, as we're praying or in a meeting where the Spirit is welcome and the presence of God is there, you can be strengthened powerfully. I've had that happen to me so many times. Just being ministered by the Helper, by the Holy Spirit, where I could not go on, I could not proceed. I was stuck in a cul-de-sac, and there's no way out. I had no strength to move on through that trial and keep going. And then I'd be praying or be at a meeting where the presence was there and the worship was going on, and somebody would prophesy or somebody would pray, or just in the worship alone before God, wherever the Spirit, the living God, was welcome, He would come. And all of a sudden, that incredible blockage or burden was just broken off. I mean, we have our salvation. We remember what happened in our salvation. It's very powerful. But we have a present ministry of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit did to us in saving us 30 years ago did not stop. Then we have a now present ministry of the Holy Spirit, where He has, I can testify, delivered me again and again and again in a very powerful way. And this we need. It's not just you can celebrate what's gone in the past, but there's a present ministry, a now ministry of the Holy Spirit, because He is our helper. He was sent as our helper, and we're going to be in battles all through our life. We need the present help, the present invasion of the kingdom of God to get through. We can't make it on our own. Why would we need a helper? Why did Jesus send a helper? If we can make it on our own, we can't. Believe me, I mean, I've been in ministry 25 years, been a Christian for 30, some of you longer, you know that there's battles in front of us, and you will come to the end of your rope dealing with the devil, dealing with your flesh, dealing with other people. You'll be at the end of your rope, and again, you're brought low. And glory to God, because it's in our weakness that His strength is made perfect. But that strength has a name. It's the Holy Spirit. We desperately need Him. And it's just going to get worse. There's all kinds of things going on politically in terms of our country. The clouds are darkening, and we need the strength of God to persevere in the face of what's coming. So one way to translate this term, from one scholar, and it's the one I like, the helping presence. He is a helping presence. Because the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. It's not just a power, like a stick your finger in a socket and you're going to, because there's electric power there. It's not a thing. It's a person. He speaks. He can be grieved. Yes, it's the power of God, but it's a personal power. So the Holy Spirit, how is God present? And we'll see it. God is present, and Jesus is present in our midst by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit manifests the presence of God. It's what I hunger for. It's because that's what changes me. I know what I've lived as a Christian and how much I've I've seen God touch me and change me only because I encountered. I was in a place that was open to the Holy Spirit. I was in a place with other people hungry for God and who were drawing the presence of God, and God came and I got set free. So that is my deepest desire for you, to create an environment here in Bethel where you will encounter the Holy Spirit, because I know what happened to me, and I know how much I need that, and I know there's conditions that have to be met to draw that presence. But if we can do that together and draw His presence, you will encounter Him and be set free and deliver and experience that now ministry. It's so crucial. It's just so crucial. It's life for me. This is what I long for, the visitation of the glory and presence and of God delivering and setting people free in a regular basis. So He's the helping presence, the manifest presence, the personal presence of God. John, let's go to chapter 14, verse 17. Just continuing in that text. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. So here it says the Spirit cannot, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that we receive, there's a contrast. So we receive Him, we know Him, but the world does not. That's why it seems when we talk about Jesus and people mock and they laugh or whatever, and we share the gospel and they say, oh, what is this? They do not know the Holy Spirit. It sounds strange to them. And Paul, he says that they cannot understand the things of God without the Holy Spirit. So the world cannot receive Him. And God does a grace, and then the whole thing changed. When I was an atheist, you talked to me about God, Christians, I thought they were all weak people that needed a crutch. They couldn't depend on themselves. I was so arrogant, I was going to do everything myself until I got busted. But that's the way it was. No, Christians were weak people that needed a God to get them through life. I did not understand the things of the Spirit. I didn't understand I needed God. I didn't even understand that He existed. It was all weird to me. But when I got saved, wow, that was all true. So that's the grace of God. We only come to, when the Spirit gets in our hearts, it's by the grace of God. He does something, and all of a sudden, it's so real and true to us now, we forget that we opposed it. It was all strange before, but when we evangelize, people are going, you're nuts. Or no, or remember where you were. We thought it was all nuts too. Until God, by His grace, gave us the Spirit, and everything changed. And we pray for people as we do that. But the world does not receive the Spirit. That's why it seems unacceptable to them. But we, the Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. That's what the contrast is in that text. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So the context is that He's going to send the Holy Spirit. That's the context. So how is Jesus going to not leave us as orphans? How is Jesus going to come to us? He's still in heaven. He has not returned. And this was fulfilled right after. In at the end of John, we see Him breathing the Holy Spirit. So what He's saying here is that He will come to us by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave heaven, but He will send the Spirit. We are not left as orphans. So this is, you have to remember the context. He is going. They gave their lives to follow this man who is now about to leave them and return to the Father. That can be very upsetting. And so He has to explain, no, I will not leave you orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit, and I will. My Father and I will dwell with you by the Holy Spirit. Those who love me and obey my commands, my Father and I will dwell with you. How? They are in heaven by the Holy Spirit. It's the personal presence of God in our lives. That's what He says in verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Context is, helps you interpret everything by the Holy Spirit. Verse 23 and 24. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So those who love Jesus obey Him. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Jesus remains in heaven. He has not returned. How does he do this? By the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son, they both do. That's how we say that in Matthew, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And even in the Old Testament, God was with Israel by the presence of the living God, by the Spirit of God. He's the one who brings the presence of the Lord. He's just so real and so precious. this is all what it means in terms of the Spirit being a helping presence. We're not to feel that we're orphans, that God abandons us. No matter, there's a lot of hard things that we have to go through, and we think like, God, where are you? Why did you allow this? And we feel abandoned by God. It's just not true. Where is God when we're hurting? Right inside of you. We have the helping presence. It doesn't mean we don't go through trouble. We go through lots of it, many trials. I've been through more trials as a Christian than as a non-Christian. Life in some ways was easier as a non-Christian. I was still bound in sin. That wasn't free from that or anything. But the trials, there's more, because the devil's not happy. He has you under his thumb back then. Now you're doing damage to his kingdom. He's going to oppose more. But that does not mean that we're going through trials, that God has abandoned us. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of a helping presence that never leaves us. I've seen this again and again where I think, God, just, Lord, you took a vacation. I don't understand why I'm going through this. And it's not you. Then all of a sudden you're praying, and it makes you draw closer to God, and you're crying out for help. And all of a sudden there's this visitation, there's this touch. This incredible touch. Just one touch. The finger of God driving out demons. The finger of God healing your heart. You're so wounded you can't even walk straight anymore. And then all of a sudden the Spirit comes. And in one touch, what I could not handle or heal, it's gone. It's gone. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So real to me. And I love those touches. I don't like what goes before them. all the trials that make it necessary, but whatever. We have to go through it. That's part of being growing up and being purified. But that touch, he has been so faithful. I just want, you want a testimony? I testify. I won't give the specifics, so I'd be here all morning. How many times that he's done that? And he's done it again recently. So I just want to testify about the helping presence of God and how precious that is and how powerful he is and how he sets the captive free. And it's not just in my salvation, and I thank God for that 30 years ago. It's frequent. It's frequent. He didn't take a vacation after we got saved. He's real now. And thank God for it, because he sets me free. And he sets us free. Isn't he good? Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. You are so real. Lord, just touch our hearts again this morning. If anybody needing a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit this morning, the reality of your love, Lord, give it to them. You are so real. Touch our hearts again with your love, your helping presence. Thank you for all the times you've done. And minister to your people here today with that touch, God. The last thing I want to say from just this particular text, and we'll go on to chapter 15. Again and again, you see this link that Jesus is making between, if you love me, then you'll obey me, and the presence of God. Because he keeps on talking about, well, if you love me, keep my commands. And then he will ask for the Holy Spirit. Those who love me will keep my commands, and my Father and I will dwell with them. So there's a link. How do you know if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? If you obey him. Very clear in Scripture. That's why our our walk speaks very loudly. I mean, you can say something with your mouth about being a Christian, but if your walk doesn't align, I'm not saying we're perfect, but your tendency is towards obedience. If you sin, you're aghast because you love Jesus, like, I want to get out of this, and you're sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you want to be free from that. Because if you, it's not enough to say you love Jesus, it's your walk that shows it. If you love me, you will obey me. And then he gives the inverse in case we don't get it. If you don't obey my teaching, you do not love me. Very clear. So a Christian has a tender, loving heart towards the Lord Jesus. Disobedience is not, may not be the only thing that's involved there. Lovelessness, maybe you're getting cold towards the Lord. If if you're disobedient, and if sin doesn't shock you, if sin doesn't, you know, you're somebody says something and it's hard to receive, but it's true that the love for Jesus, and you will say, well, I want out of this. The most horrible thing that can happen, and we'll talk about the ministry of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because he convicts the world, but he also convicts the church. The most horrible thing that can happen to a Christian is that you're walking in sin and you no longer see it. I am terrified of that condition, because that means the Holy Spirit's leading. Because his ministry is the conviction, that he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he convicts, it's a present now ministry, he does it now. If I am in sin and I no longer see it, I've grieved him, and he's starting to leave. We cannot have that in our lives. Believe me, I'd rather eat humble pie, do whatever it is, keep the Holy Spirit. If he's that precious to you, do whatever it is, repent, humble yourself. I don't care if you're 10% right and the other person's 90% wrong. Repent. The more serious thing is grieving him and getting hard. And you keep on doing the same thing, and you don't even see it as sin anymore because the Spirit's not convicting. That happens to Christians. It's horrible. He's precious. Keep him precious. If you love Jesus, obey his commands. If you don't obey, you don't love. Simple. There's silence in here. Can I have an amen to that? I got one. Verse 17. So the Spirit is our helper. He's the helping presence, but he's also the Spirit of truth. He's sent by the Father and the Son. He's the helper, and he's the Spirit of truth. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. He's the Spirit of truth. 15:26, same thing. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And 16:12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide me. He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So that last text, those last verses, sort of develop this role of the Spirit. Jesus here in verse 12 and 15 is saying, I have more to say, but you can't bear it now. So then he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So again, it's like, I'm going. I'm not, my ministry of teaching the truth is finished. I'm going, you can't bear any more right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit picks up on the ministry of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came into this world to testify to the truth. And then he goes to the Father. Does that all stop? No. He sends the Spirit of truth to continue his ministry of speaking truth. That's why the Holy Spirit is a person, because a person speaks. It's not just a power. He's a person. He speaks the truth. That's what he says here. He'll guide us into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. A person speaks. So this is a person here who's speaking the truth that Jesus was speaking. And he guides into all truth. And then he says, what kind of truth? I mean, mathematics, well, he's going to help us on our exams. Well, if you pray for help, maybe, but that's not the point here. He's guiding into all. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known. So the truth that he speaks is the truth that he gets from Jesus. He speaks for Jesus. Now, it's similar to Jesus. Before, Jesus would speak only, he would get the word from the Father, and he would share it to the disciples. Now it's changed. Everything's changing. He's going to the Father. So now the Spirit has the same relationship to Jesus that Jesus had to the Father. The Spirit will only speak what Jesus says, just like Jesus would only speak what the Father said. And when he did that, when he submitted himself to doing only what God wanted and speaking what God wanted, he glorified the Father. Well, the Spirit's doing the same thing. But now it shows that Jesus is God. He glorifies Jesus. He glorifies Jesus by speaking the truth that comes from Jesus. And Jesus said, it's not mine. He will speak only from what is mine. But when I say this, what I mean by this is that all that the Father has is mine. So the Father speaks through the Son, and the Son speaks through the Spirit. Trinity, and the Trinity is an action in the Bible. in the revelation, in God speaking. So the Father reveals the truth by His Son through the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 26, chapter 14, verse 26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So he speaks the word of Jesus. He teaches all things. It's related to reminding the disciples and reminding us of what Jesus said. So he takes Jesus' words and reminds them to us. One practical thing I pulled from this, a couple of things. One is, if the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in speaking truth and speaking the Word of God, then the truth is really important to God. The Word of God is very important to God. So we can draw from that that we need to have a passion for the Word of God. We need to have a passion for the truth. I mean, we have to speak truth in love. You have to have the life of Christ. I think the brethren said it this way. You have to have the light and the life of Christ. I like that combination. The light is the Word, and you need the life. So you have to speak truth in love. There's, you know, you can be hammering people over the head with the truth, but you can be a spineless whatever, just love, 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 and never speak truth, which is just as bad. We speak the truth in love. So we can never be in a place where doctrine doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't matter. The doctrine, well, I need Jesus. Excuse me? Excuse me? I don't need the Word of God. I just need Jesus. He is the truth, and He sends the Spirit of truth. Why would we dismiss what He sends, the Spirit of truth? God has a passion for His Word, and we need to have a passion for His Word. It matters. Don't ever get into that lie that doctrine doesn't matter, the Word of God doesn't matter. It matters. It's not the only thing. You can beat people over the head with that without love. So speak the truth in love. Get both, the light and the life. But never despise the Word. Never say truth doesn't matter when the Spirit, truth is a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth matters because God, it's God's Word spoken. We can't compromise on the truth. We cannot. Speak it always in love, always be kind, always be gentle. Never compromise on the truth because you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And we need to have a passion for the truth that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in speaking truth. We better love it like He loves it. And the contrast is the devil. What does the devil characterize? If we have the Spirit of truth, what does the devil call? A liar. A liar. He's going to distort that, and there's a battle. There's doctrines of demons. Demons fight over doctrine. Yes, they do. Doctrines of demons. So he's a liar, and the Spirit of truth. So we have the two opposed. But truth, and all liars will go to hell, Jesus says in Revelation. That's how passionate he is about truth. And he says in Revelation 2, hold on to the word, obey it, trust it, and hold on to what you have. And another application I think about the Spirit of truth is that we can know truth. We may not understand all the Bible. I don't. I mean, I've been a Christian for many years and went to do a master's in theology, and they start reading all the scholars, and there's stuff I didn't know. I was always like, I didn't know this before, so it can't be true. And that's not necessarily true. The Word is so rich, you can always be learning something new. So I was stretched. There's a lot of stuff that I was learning new about the Scripture. So we can always be learning. We don't know it all. But if there is a Spirit of truth, we can know the truth because God will reveal it to us. We can know it. Sometimes you get one person says this, one person says that. The Spirit can give us the truth. There is one thing that is true. We can go after that, and the Spirit is there. That's what it says in 1 John 2:20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. So that means you have the Spirit, then you know that there's a connection. You have an anointing from the Holy One. The anointing is the Spirit of Christ. And you know the truth. So the Spirit of truth in us will teach us the truth. We can know the truth. We may not know it all, but we can know things clearly from the Bible. We can know the truth because God is pleased to reveal it. I was in Kansas City. There was a Bible school there, and it was we went there as a new Christian, and there was a prophet there, and he didn't know me from a hole in a wall. And he just said, your call is, I was a 3-year-old Christian, he said, your call is a pastor and a teacher. And he said, you want to know the truth. And that's good, because God wants to reveal it. I said, All right. And then I'm going around telling my friend, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm like, whatever. But that's the prophetic gift. God can reveal things through prophecy. The Spirit is also one who gives spiritual gifts. He just knew by the Holy Spirit my future. And he knew, and he didn't, I never talked to him, I never met him, that I was very passionate for truth. And that he said, that's good. That's something, God wired me that way. And he blesses that because he wants to reveal truth. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of truth. But it takes work. It takes hard work. It's not just something where you're going to sit there and you're going to get a download. God can give prophecies like that, yes. But generally, it's study. I think it's Psalm 2. If you search after it for gold, if you seek it and you have an attentive ear, seek as treasure, all this ardent searching, then you will know the truth and you will know the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God through the word. So it takes study. It takes prayer. It takes diligence. It's not for lazy people. It's not. It's diligence. It takes diligence. And you're diligent because it's precious. You know that these are the words of life. You know that this is the Spirit is behind it and Jesus is the truth and you're getting closer to knowing God. So there's a diligence to pursue. And under those conditions, it says, if then, in Psalm 2. So if you do this, search as it for gold, as if it was a treasure for you, and you have an open ear, you're teachable, and you pray and ask for understanding, and you're diligent, then that's the result. God will show you himself. God will reveal himself to you, and you will know the Lord. There are conditions to meet. We can be Christians for 50 years and still be spiritually immature because we don't make the effort to get to know God. He wants us to grow up. I'll also go back to 14:26, the fourth point in your outline. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. So the fourth point is the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So that tells us there's a quality about the Spirit. He is holy. That's holiness. The holiness of God means transcendence. He's set apart from all creation, and it also means purity. So the Spirit of God is pure, holy. He has the very character of God because He is God. So He is the Holy Spirit, and when He comes into our lives, He comes to transform us and to make us holy into his image. My last point is from chapter 15, verse 26. When the Spirit of truth goes out from the Father, he comes, verse 27, and you also must testify, he will testify about me. You also must testify where you have been with me from the beginning. And then in verse 8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So the Spirit is, the last thing we want to say is that the Spirit is sent by Jesus and the Father on a mission. On a mission to the world. His mission is to bear witness to Jesus, and he does this in connection with our testifying, because that's what it says. He says, he will testify about me, but verse 27, and you also must testify. And then in chapter 20, we see that Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on the, when is the Spirit given? Well, he breathes on the disciples, and he says, when you forgive sins, their sins will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, they will not be forgiven. So he breathes on them, gives them the Holy Spirit, in the context of mission. That's preaching the gospel. That's what they do, is when you proclaim the gospel of forgiveness, God forgives sins, put your faith in Christ, he died for your sins on the cross, and people receive that, their sins are forgiven. That's what that means. Not just say, well, we have the authority to forgive sins, that's not it. As we proclaim the gospel, God forgives sins because it's in the gospel. It's an offer of the gospel. But the Spirit is given in John chapter 20 for a mission to help them testify. So the Father and the Son send the Spirit to equip us to testify, and the Spirit will testify. He's going to convict the sin of the world. He said that you're in the wrong. He's going to give evidence. You're going to know it's wrong. That's why it's so precious, the conviction of God. I remember when I was in revival in Pensacola, it was incredible. 3 million people went there. A Pentecostal church in Brownsville, Florida, 1995 to 2000. And we were there for a couple of months. We were at the school there too, and it was heaven on earth. that it was such a beautiful, holy presence. The people, I mean, the taxi drivers would say to Playboy, this is a true story, Playboy bunnies that showed up from the airport, whatever taxi driver picks them up, said, where's the hottest place in town? What does he say? Brownsville Assembly of God. And they come there, and they come running down to the altar with mascara going down their face because the conviction of sin is so strong in the room. Pastors were running up there because everything was getting fine-tuned. They may not have been in the Playboy bunnies, but if you've got a critical spirit, God will start dealing with it. When the Holy Spirit's there, he starts letting you see how sin is and magnifies it. When people say something against you and you're in the church and they really hurt you and then you're not on your guard, so you just say somebody else and you're a little critical because you're hurt. I felt like it was stabbing the person in the back that I was speaking about. God would magnify the sin, making it so, this is horrible, I don't want it. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was life in that place. It's not empty. The devil will come with condemnation, general stuff. No, Spirit, very specific. Very specific. He gives proof, evidence that this is wrong and God does not tolerate it. And then you repent and then you're free. I was walking around Walmart in Pensacola, in Walmart. Praise God. I was up going down the aisles like this because I felt his presence so strong because I was just getting cleansed from and all the stuff, all this fine-tuning. And it was... You feel the conviction, and then you feel, Lord, you love me so much that even when I'm doing this, you still love me. That was the end result, that I really got touched by the love of God. So the conviction is not something heavy. It's specific, and you repent and say, Lord, you still love me, and you make me see how bad this is. I didn't even see it as bad as you did, but you make me see it, Lord, you love me. Even in this, you love me. So the Spirit will testify. The Spirit will convict. We need the Holy Spirit when we evangelize. And because they don't, they're going to say, "What? You're nuts." You know, they're very sure about themselves. And they have we're the right thing, and we got it all. So, no, the Spirit will convict. So we need, but you testify. We must testify. And so if we want the anointing of God in our lives, we need to be involved in mission. We need to be involved in evangelizing. And we can do a reality check. Lord is like, just check your own life. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? We need just a reality check to know, okay, I want to walk this out. So just check ourselves and be faithful in sharing the gospel and praying, God, bring the conviction, because he will bring the conviction. So to conclude, the Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Spirit is our helper. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is sent by Jesus and the Father on a mission to the world. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.